Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We have to be looking at all of this a little bit more spiritual, but it won't be spiritual on October 21 because the Bible clearly teaches that then the world is going to be destroyed altogether.
I clearly have done things that were wrong. I've clearly had to seek God's forgiveness. People have to decide whether or not what I've said and what I've done is real.
When I touched my hand against the Western Wall and placed my prayer between its ancient stones, I thought of all the centuries that the children of Israel had longed to return to their ancient homeland.
The Holy Spirit is interested in glorifying the Christ, the Messiah, and He points all of our attention to the incarnation, God becoming flesh and laying down His life as a sacrifice for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Really easy when it's just in theory, when it's just in words and not in reality, especially when it comes to something like forgiveness. When we pray the prayer, the common Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, words that just trickle right off the tongue so easily, so quickly memorized and spoken. But when someone trespasses against us, the forgiveness is often extremely difficult and, I would dare say, at times impossible, at least in terms of our human capacity, our human ability. We're going to talk about unforgiveness in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 25th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Richard Heintz joins us. That'll be about a half hour's conversation. Then the Issues Etc. comment line will respond to what you've left there by way of critique, criticism, comment, question, or show suggestion. The Issues Etc. comment line. In the second hour of the program, the church remembers on this day someone with a rather unusual name, usually called Venerable Bede or Bede the Venerable, an 8th century priest, monk, and scholar. He really is kind of obvious caveats, kind of a patron saint of scholars, a Christian scholar. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest, no small scholar in his own right. Then we'll continue our four-part weekly series on the Genesis account of creation today, Creation and the New Testament, part three of that four-part weekly series with Dr. Joel Heck, author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, In the Beginning God, Creation from God's Perspective. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Richard Heintz is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church and School in Chicago and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Lord, I Forgive, Help Me in My Unforgiveness. Pastor Heintz, welcome back.
Thanks.
This is really difficult, and I think Christians often pray the Lord's Prayer with a bit of trepidation at that particular point where we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. They worry, I think all of us at times worry, that if I don't forgive those who trespass against me perfectly, will God forgive me perfectly?
It's a big worry for a lot of folks, and I think there are a lot of beloved, well-meaning Sunday school teachers and others throughout the years who have reinforced that idea in us, too, that if you say you're sorry, then God will forgive you, and the Holy Spirit is working repentance into the Christian's life, but we have to be careful here not to turn that into a work, that somehow I need to change my heart enough to repent and say I'm sorry, and I need to work at forgiving somebody else, or else God won't do His work on me. The Lord is good and gracious and merciful and extends that forgiveness through faith, but we are not the ones who are causing that to happen. And we want to be careful to avoid that thought.
So maybe to help understand it even more basically, that forgiveness that we pray for those who trespass against us and for ourselves, is not really our forgiveness in the first place. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. This is all from Christ. And so it's more of a cause that he has forgiven us, and so flowing out of that, we forgive others. And, you know, just like everyone else in the world, there are going to be times where it's not easy. If we have been hurt in particular, or someone we love has been hurt, it's a difficult thing. But, again, it's not that we need to somehow dig deep enough into ourselves to make ourselves forgive someone else. The Lord is using us to reflect that forgiveness, and even if we're not at that place, so to speak, to begin with, the Holy Spirit continues to work on us to bring us to that.
Why is it so difficult for us? I mean, we can do a lot of things, and sometimes we can even bring ourselves to overlook a lot of stuff, but really forgiving the way we know it ought to be, that's just nearly impossible, Pastor.
Well, yes. I mean, humanly speaking, it is impossible. There is no way. I was talking with Pastor Borghardt recently on the same topic, and said, you know, it kind of goes back to Luther's explanation in the third article, even about faith to begin with, that I believe I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. The Holy Spirit is the one who's brought us to faith, and likewise, I can't, by my own reason or strength, forgive anyone, but the Holy Spirit delivers the forgiveness of Christ to me, and through that leads me to forgive others as well.
When we're talking about this kind of forgiveness that is called for from us to others, and you've already established that it's not really our forgiveness, but Christ's forgiveness, can we make a distinction between kind of an objective forgiveness, where we say, I forgive you, and kind of, I don't know, getting behind it 100%? Emotionally, that's the tough part. I think people say, yeah, I forgive him, but golly, it's going to take me a while to get over this.
Right. It's like the kid in school, the teacher says, now say you're sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. But they don't really mean it yet. And I think, you know, there again, it's a constant thing. The Holy Spirit's constantly working on us as he brings the Lord's gifts to us to change us, to cause us to turn from our unforgiveness and to turn from those ways of the old Adam. So, you know, the Spirit is doing this, and eventually, well, I shouldn't even say eventually, but the Lord is bringing about that authentic forgiveness in faith, even when we are starting off very shallow. That shallow is that old Adam ourselves, but the Lord is going to bring about forgiveness where he has planted faith.
What does unforgiveness do to us and to our neighbor?
Well, it eats away at us like a cancer. And those who remain firmly in their unforgiveness, faith is weakening and could eventually, you know, shrivel and die. Forgiveness flows out of faith. And when one is refusing to forgive, you know, then there's a definite problem. I've distinguished in Bible class before, too, there's a difference between someone who is very adamant and very cold and saying, I will not forgive this person because they've offended me too much. There's a difference between that and somebody who is hurting and saying, I want to forgive them, I know that's the right thing to do, but I'm having a difficult time. Well, then we continue to be steadfast in receiving Jesus' gifts and asking the Lord to continue to help us, just as the title of the article says, you know, help me in my unforgiveness. Help me to turn from that and reflect Christ my Lord.
Would we be going too far to say that that our weakness in unforgiveness, and I think you've alluded to this already, our weakness in in forgiving our neighbor is really a weakness of our own faith, trusting the forgiveness that we've received already from Christ.
Right. It's already there. The forgiveness is already there from Jesus, and he wants to use us as his, you know, mirrors reflecting his light and so on. It's forgiveness that doesn't come from us, but comes from him, and he's lovingly using us to bring that to the world. We sometimes get stuck in and are in our own ways not reflecting that old nature in us, but the Lord is still working on us. He's not just abandoning us to ourselves. He's bringing about that forgiveness even when we don't see it, and filling us with his gospel.
If that's true, then it seems as though the solution or the place to begin when one finds oneself unable to forgive their neighbor is not to focus on the neighbor or on the sin or on your own ability to forgive, but on what Christ has done for us in forgiving us completely and perfectly.
Precisely. And so the place for that person to be is right there in the divine service, receiving our Lord and his gifts, so that we are then back in our daily lives renewed and strengthened and forgiven ourselves to continue on and bring that to others.
Well, when we come back, we're going to get more particular. There we are on Sunday morning, where we ought to be. If you cannot forgive your neighbor, that's the place for you on Sunday morning. There, receiving again Christ's perfect and unconditional forgiveness, the forgiveness he won for you at the cross. How does he bring it to you? And how do those means by which he brings his forgiveness to us strengthen us, and yes, even make us able in our weakness to forgive others with Christ's forgiveness? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Richard Hines is our guest.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, etc., and you.
Forgiveness, forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. We're talking about unforgiveness. Pastor Richard Hines is our guest, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, "Lord, I Forgive, Help Me in My Unforgiveness." I want to come back to that, the central life of the Christian there in the divine service you mentioned before the break. But first, Jay in Madison, Mississippi has this question. He says, it seems to me that this is perhaps a great example of the law-gospel dichotomy. It would be very odd to suddenly insert law into something that is purely gospel, such as the prayer that the Lord has given us. So it can't be about the importance of our efforts. Indeed, the greater the transgression against us, the more the law demands of us via forgiveness. And yet, any of us must acknowledge that the greater the transgression, the harder the forgiveness. We can't do it ourselves. Only through Jesus can it be done. Gospel, not law. Your thoughts there from Jay in Madison, Mississippi.
Yes, I mean, that's right on the nail head. You know, we do. We by nature, we want to turn it into something that's law. And really, the Lord's Prayer at its heart is gospel. It's gift. It's the words of Jesus, so that even when we are praying, we're hearing God's word because he's speaking to us first. And this forgiveness is a gift. And it's the most beautiful gift there is. And so it's a reflection then through us. It has nothing to do with our own words or deeds or actions. And, you know, there's so often where people will try to turn everything on its head and make it into something that we do, and it's not. It's Christ doing it. And that's the beauty of this release, that he is the one doing it through and for us to begin with. Even, you know, here again, we have people throughout the years who've said, oh, well, you shouldn't be coming up to the sacrament because you, are you really sure that you've forgiven this person or whatever? But the thing is, again, that's turning our own faith in life and forgiveness into a work and making it law. And coming and receiving the gospel being preached and in the sacrament is what the Lord is doing to forgive us for this very unforgiveness to begin with. And again, as I've said before, there's a distinction between somebody who is fallen from faith and is very cold-heartedly refusing absolutely to forgive someone, and the Christian who is there hurting and in need of this precious forgiveness from our Lord, which is going to strengthen them in turn and spill that forgiveness to everyone else.
Before the break, Pastor Heinz, you mentioned that the Christian who, and all do, who struggles to forgive, even as he has been forgiven, belongs in the divine service on Sunday morning. Let's get specific. What is there, what does Christ have for us there that is the answer to our unforgiveness?
Oh, his most precious gifts, his gospel being read and proclaimed to us, and coming in the sacrament at the altar, and being renewed and strengthened through that forgiving word from the pastor, that isn't just wishful thinking and not just a prayer or, you know, saying, I hope you're forgiven, but God is declaring through that pastor to you, you are forgiven, that sin is gone, you're released from it.
You also write about praying for our enemies. We recently had Pastor Will Whedon on the program, and he suggested that Jesus should be taken at his word on this thing, that there's no promise that we won't have enemies as Christians, but we are to pray for them. And he even suggested that Jesus attaches a promise there that when we pray for them, we actually begin to love them. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, you know, well, at its very core, Jesus gives us the prime example because we were all his enemies as he prayed for us until he purchased and won us at the cross. So he definitely was praying for his enemies, and now not even just as some sort of divine example, but we receive that blessing that he does pray for us, and renewed, forgiven, and strengthened, we then in turn do that also. We pray for our enemies. It doesn't mean you need to pray for them to be successful in everything, but to pray for the Lord to bring them to faith and for some sort of peace to come about between us, because he has given us that peace with him to begin with. It's a good thing, and God desires that peace among us. And it's a gift.
It's mortifying. I mean, literally, it's mortifying when you try it, when you have someone, and all of us do have someone in mind, who has mistreated us, done us wrong, the kind of stuff that sticks with you for a long time. And when you remember it, the pain is right there all over again. To actually pray that God would bless them, forgive them, show them mercy, continue to guard and protect them, all the things we would pray for our loved ones, to pray that for our enemies hurts the old Adam. It is mortifying.
Mm-hmm. And yet there again, that's precisely what Christ has done to begin with, and because of that, we are now the children of God, baptized into Him, and so He leads us to do the same.
Is that, in a sense, part of, in the particular places where we've been sinned against with regard to our enemies, is that part of repentance on our part, too?
Sure. I think it factors in there. And, you know, but there again, we're too much in a habit in day-to-day life of thinking that repentance is somehow our own work. And we get surrounded by that thought, and it's not. Again, it's the Holy Spirit's work, bringing us to turn from our sinful ways and that old creature, and instead bring us renewed in faith that we are the new creatures of Christ, baptized into Him. So it's the Spirit's work bringing about that repentance and bringing us to live in that forgiveness.
To round off our conversation on unforgiveness, tell us the story that you tell in your Higher Things article. I don't know if it's a personal story or not, but tell us the story.
Yeah, actually, it is. The names they changed, had a little bit of fun with the Star Wars reference, but the reality is that after teasing around about coveting, which was a little strong, but having fun with friends among the clergy, I was able to get my own iPad this past fall. And after about 2 weeks of using it for preaching and Bible classes and so on, one Wednesday afternoon that was pretty busy, I left it in the front pew in the church, went about and did some other things, and when I remembered it, went back and it was gone. It was a busy day with lots of people, both members and non-members, in and out of the hallways of the church, so I have no idea how it might have happened, but somewhere along the way, someone stole my iPad. In talking with others about it, then you get all the comments of, how dare they? And then in a church and from a pastor, and each of those things, people thinking that, well, it makes it even worse. And personally, it feels like it should be. But then on the other hand, you say, well, why is it any worse? Because stealing is stealing. It's breaking the seventh commandment, no matter who it was against or what the location. And I had a brother pastor help remind me that, well, you should be praying for this person, whoever they are, that, you know, why they would feel that need to swipe it. And long story short, the Lord used it as an opportunity for other loved ones to step forward and purchase a new one for me, just gave us all a beautiful image and story encouraging us in our own forgiveness.
So I think about Jesus in the very first moments of his crucifixion. It says he's just been nailed to the cross, and the first words out of his mouth are, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." What is he praying for us, for you, for me, in those words?
Well, yeah, because there again, you know, we can't just pinpoint and say, well, it's the fault of the Jewish leadership or the fault of the Roman soldiers there. He's not just praying for those actually on Calvary surrounding the cross at that moment. He's praying for us, too. He's praying for all of us because we are among the children of men who have sinned and gone against God and are the reason behind his need to be crucified. There he is, though, letting us know that those are absolving words, that he's not holding this against us. There he is to suffer, to remove this sin from us, and he's assuring us at the time that that's exactly what he's doing, that he is forgiving and absolving us. And it's a beautiful gift.
Pastor Richard Heinz is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Chicago, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Lord, I Forgive, Help Me in My Unforgiveness. You can find out more about the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Heinz, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 25th, we're going to be listening to the Issues Etc. comment line. Your comments, your questions, your criticisms right there. We'll be responding to them in real time, live on the air. Then an hour or two of Issues Etc. Pastor Heath Curtis will help us remember Bede the Venerable from the 8th century. And we'll continue our series on the creation account according to Genesis with Dr. Joel Heck.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The dangerous chemical abortion drug RU-46 has killed another woman. This time, she was only 16 years old. She died from a deadly infection caused by toxic shock. It's killed several women in the United States, but I fear most aren't reported. The maker of this deadly pill admits dozens of women have died in Europe alone. In the early 80s, a certain feminine hygiene product was causing toxic shock syndrome in women. It got lots of media attention, and women were told how to avoid this potentially fatal condition. But the politicization of abortion means uninformed women will continue to die because they don't know of the dangers of chemical abortion. Let's protect women and their unborn babies. We must take RU-46 off the market.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.